If you like your ladies wild and feisty, you have come to the right place. I'm Jody Ambrose, author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and there's nothing I'd rather do on a Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern than tune in to the amazing ladies of Cougar Chat Radio. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a great episode of Cougar Chat. Tonight you've got Andrea, that's me, and Nan, and Kelly.
Hey, guys.
Jen might be able to join us at about 9:30, but not necessarily. We will see how that plays out. And, of course, we have our great guest tonight, Michael Berryman, talking about bullying and abuse. So how's everyone tonight?
Good. I'm doing awesome. How are you guys?
Great.
Better than those poor souls up north.
No kidding, right?
Yeah. South.
It's crazy. I can't believe how hard they're having such a hard time recovering.
And I hear there's another one possibly heading that way.
A nor'easter.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a nor'easter, which is actually kind of worse.
Wow, really?
Snow, rain. But that on top of the fact that people have no heat and there's water everywhere.
Wow, that's too bad.
It's scary when you think about it, though. I mean, because I was thinking, you know, these people are like walking to get gas. I couldn't walk from where I am to get gas. I mean, like in a couple of days.
Really?
But I'm pretty far away from gas.
Wow. Yeah, that's that's definitely very, very sad. My thoughts are with them for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about people leaving pets behind in their homes while they thought this was going to be something fleeting. Kind of reminds me of Katrina a little bit that way. And that the ASPCA has having to go in and do, you know, heroic rescue attempts to get the little furballs out. So, kudos to all the rest of people.
That's true, too, but it doesn't bode well for the animals that are existing in the shelters.
That's true, too. Definitely.
I know, it's probably not a great time, but if anybody has space for animals, it's a good time to adopt.
you touch on the subject so close to my heart, Nan. Suddenly, Sarah McLachlan starts playing in the background.
We all have friends on Facebook, and I see these posts of these poor dogs day after day that have no homes, begging for people to, you know, take them in. It's just pitiful.
Well, it really is.
Do you guys know that I used to be an agent, a cruelty agent, like an animal
cop? I did know that. That's when I have to call you calling for puppy advice.
Oh.
Andy, what do I do?
Yeah.
She's got a hysterical phone call. What do I do?
Well, yeah, and I mean, where I used to live in Northern Ontario, they used to keep the dogs and cats in the pound for 3 business days and then drive them out to the dump, tie them to a cinder block, and shoot them.
Wow.
And you for that. 3 days?
And there was, like, stories, of course, in the community about how the bylaw officer would take the animal out, shoot it a number of times, and throw it into the upended culvert where they just threw the carcasses. And, of course, Fluffy or Fido end up walking back home 2 months later, right? So,
all shot up?
Yeah, all shot up. Yeah.
Survive it.
Well, obviously, whoever was shooting them was not particular. And how do you get a cat to stand still to shoot a cat? Can you tell me?
I don't even want to think about it.
I'm trying, like, going, okay, what? No, I don't know.
After causing a huge uproar for all of our listeners, you can rest easy. I caused big hoodoos for the people up there, and the wrath of the public came down on them, and it has been changed. The legislation's changed where they're doing a fostering program now in the community, and any animals that can't be adopted or are too feral are being driven 2.5 hours away to the awesome, awesome Humane Society that exists there.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a huge change. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That really is huge.
I was in tears when I found out about that. It was awesome.
Wow.
But yeah. So what did you guys do this weekend?
I did laundry. My life sucks.
I'm still recovering from last weekend.
How was last weekend? Did you tell us?
Oh no, you know, I haven't really talked to you guys, because while I was on the show last week, it was by the miracle of technology. I was actually on an airplane, if you remember correctly, at the time.
Yes.
No, from my awesome weekend. It was a ton of fun. We had so much fun and some really cool experiences. And
where were you?
I was in Death Valley, California at the Amargosa Hotel.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely
amazing.
Did
anything happen in your room?
I'm sorry?
Did anything happen in your room?
No, luckily nothing happened in my room, ghost-related or otherwise. Actually, the second part is...
I was talking about ghosts.
Sure you were, Dan.
I really was.
But we did have some incredible experiences elsewhere in the hotel. So I would highly recommend the place, for sure, if you're into that whole ghost hunting thing like I am.
Didn't you write a blog about a little bit of that, Callie?
I did, yeah. Yep, at calliescamino.blogspot.com.
Excellent. Yeah, anybody out there who wants to hear more about some spooky stuff in Death Valley, check that out. So, my weekend, I had to go to my sister's baby shower. And anybody who knows me knows that, number one, I don't really get along with my sister all that well. And number two, baby showers are like shooting me in the head over going to a baby shower. So I had a little run-in speak with the girl whose house it was being held at. Let me know what you guys think, because, well, we just covered what animal freak person I am. I had called and I had asked if it was okay if I brought my little lap dog with me. And I was told that she would prefer that I didn't. However, I said, okay, well, if there's a problem with it, I won't bother. She calls back and she's all like, you know what? I've never had a pet in my house before. It is absolutely not okay if you bring your little dog. I totally take that back and it's an issue. So don't even think about it.
Wow.
I was really, really insulted.
You and your little dog, too.
Totally.
No, she doesn't have pets. I don't think that's weird at all.
I was just so...
If you're not a pet person, I mean, my husband didn't grow up with pets, and, you know, I did, so, of course, we have pets, but it's really hard on him.
Really?
It's really hard on him. He gets, like... Yeah, it's really a different lifestyle when you don't have pets. It really is. And I'm not surprised. I wouldn't take it personally at all.
Well, I did take it personally, and I have to admit, when I saw one of the little rugrats that were there sitting on the sofa squishing blackberries in their fists, I was like sending the mental voodoo of, you know, that's right, child, that's right, squish them harder. Now, wipe your hands on the light beige sofa. Yeah.
No, because let me put the shoe on the other foot. Let's say you were having a group of dogs over and there were some that, you know, weren't around children at all. You wouldn't want to bring a child into with dogs that you don't know how they're going to react. It's the same thing. Not really. If you don't have pets and your kids aren't raised around them, then people aren't going to be comfortable with it. I don't think that's true.
Well, my dog doesn't run around the house. I don't know. Like I think you might have met her once, Nan, but she's just like this 10-pound wiener dog that just sits on your lap. She doesn't, like, scuttle around or cause
trouble. I don't think it had anything to do with your dog, per se. I really don't. I don't. I mean, because I have dogs, so when people come over my house, they automatically bring their pets. It's like a given.
Yeah.
I mean, we always have so many dogs here, it's ridiculous.
Wow. Well,
but yeah, if you don't have dogs, that doesn't surprise me. Callie, you have a dog, don't you?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Oh. Is that a bad thing? Or like, do I go, I'm so sorry to hear that?
Okay. Speaking of sad pet stories.
If you do a trip, you can't even get one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just kind of robot. Am I here? We'll have the main man, Michael Berryman, joining us, okay?
Awesome.
Okay.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Television. The silver screen discovered Michael Berryman thanks to legendary film director George Pal, who at the time was in work from Star Trek. They have to say X-Files. He's been in a lot of movies and TV shows, guys. Ladies and gents, join me in welcoming the one and only Michael Berryman. Hello?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Yeah. On there, that's kind of funky with the connection, but it turns out sounding great when we play back the blog talk. So
okay, all right.
So, Michael, with all these challenges that you've faced as a young man, how are you now?
That's the question.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just saying, with all how has that influenced abuse and bullying?
Okay, how did the challenges turn bullying? I really apologize.
Would you like us to try calling you back and maybe get a better connection?
Yeah, let's try that. I'm getting a time break, and it sounds like you're in a basement.
Oh, I'm definitely not in a basement, but we'll give you a call right back then, okay?
Yeah, call me right back with your connection. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Do you want to go to another quick break and we will try to call Michael back?
Oh, it's automatic dial, so we're all set.
Okay.
Michael. Welcome to Cougar Chat again. You there?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm here. I hear you. You still are breaking up really bad.
Oh, shoot. These darn connections. Would you want to try calling into our radio show? See if we get a connection.
Give me the number, please.
Sure. It's 661-244-8118. That's great. Thanks, Michael. Charlie?
Yes. I did. I came off of the call.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm on here, so obviously some issues with Skype, and we have to take a different approach. And
can you put a song on, Andrea, real quick?
I absolutely can.
That sounds great. Maybe we'll see if we can get these technical issues resolved.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Seems like an eternity that my life was such a mess. I'd given up on everything, and I'd surely failed life's test. There was no help anywhere, no light shining down. You know my feet were sinking fast into the muddy ground. So I searched for an answer to all my rainy days.
Have to move there.
help you need today.
So we're back. We're still having some technical issues trying to get a hold of Michael again. But in the meanwhile, how about we have a conversation? What's been going on with the family there, Nan? Anything fun and exciting? Your family's always fun and exciting.
My family. Ugh, no, teenagers are not fun and exciting. My 17-year-old told me I was ruining his life by not letting him go to any parties where there was alcohol and no parents, and I was the meanest mom in the whole world.
Really? Is this the one that got kicked out of the military?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he said that I'm trying to make him a baby and that he's going to leave as soon as he turns 18 so he can have his freedom.
Oh, nice. And you're like, really? Cool.
I'm like, I hope you do. That part-time job at the gas station, I don't think he realizes how that's not going to go very far. No, I'm really proud of him for working, but it's just funny having a 17-year-old because they just think they, you know, parents are put on this earth to ruin their good time.
Yeah, I think I remember that part of it.
I totally remember that part of it. And I was positive that's exactly what my mom was put on the earth to do.
Well, how long has he been working at the job?
About 3 or 4 weeks now. He really likes it. He really likes having money.
Wow.
I really like not having to give him money.
Yeah, you like having money too, right?
My middle son has no such qualms. He will take my money as long as I'm willing to hand it to him.
Right on.
I would too, Nan, if you'd like to adopt me. I'm free.
My 9-year-old turned to me the other day and she goes, "Don't give him any more money, Mom." he just spends it on everything.
You
never give me money. I'm like, oh, I am getting monetary advice from my 9-year-old.
Hey, I know that usually the 9, 10, 11-year-olds in my life are usually smarter than me, so it's usually a good idea to go ahead and listen.
I've noticed that about mine, too. She really has an incredible way of cutting through all the BS.
That's funny.
But, yeah, it's amazing to me. When I was thinking about all the people that are affected by the storm, as I did my 15 loads of laundry this week, I thought, my God, do you know how much laundry these poor people are going to need to do when they get their power up and running?
No kidding.
It's scary.
Well, I don't think I mentioned to you guys about what I did for my Halloween Saturday. Well, my family's kind of messed up, generally speaking, right? Like, none of them talk to the others. And I went to a cousin's house that lives like 10 minutes away and spent some time with an aunt, second cousin's, and my cousin from Paris that I visited earlier this year, who was in, and we did some really cool, creepy stuff. I was, I guess, the go-to creepy family member. And my one cousin says, Christina's like, can you pull out some of your creepy things and bring them, please? And I was like, okay, I guess I could bring my laptop. We can listen to some like ghost voices and look at some photos and stuff. And she was like, oh, that'd be so great. And then I had this great idea for something that I've never heard of anybody really doing before. So I'm going to tell everybody what it is so everybody can make money off of it except for me. I decided to do a little kind of test group psychometry session. You guys familiar with psychometry?
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay. It's when you take an object that may or may not have some kind of strong emotional attachment from a place or person. And
Okay.
Yeah, you get, like, impressions from it.
Yeah, like if you pick up a ring, you can see who owned it, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, I mean, I all these different places that I've been, and I took, you know, some rocks and screws and, you know, odds and ends. And the results were phenomenal. I mean, I have to say my family is fucking psychic. No doubt about it. Like, and how Canadian can I get? No doubt about it.
Only if you've been sent out and about.
Out in the lake, no doubt.
It's doing it again.
That's what they came out with. The best was my, what? Yeah?
Yeah, it's doing it, that funky metal sounding thing again. Can you hear me?
Well, oh. Yeah, I can totally hear you.
Good.
Well, my second cousin, it's called the Forest of the Impaled. It's a treeless hill, essentially, where there was, you know, impaled people, where Vlad Tepes dined amongst these dying bodies. And it's right next to this big church called the Church of the Three Orphans. And actually, I guest speaker, Joshua P. Warren, he was visiting with me, as we discussed briefly at the beginning of the show. But she wrote down white church from this little pebble of a rock. And it just blew my mind. That was the thing. I mean, another thing was a rock from Virginia City, Nevada, in the graveyard. And my aunt was like, I see like darkness and oppression and I'm scared and like a cave. I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. Like, I will... Yeah, every person there had a hit on something unique, and it was phenomenal. So
that is cool.
Yeah. Have you guys ever tried anything like that?
Actually, I just did this past week, but I'm still waiting on the results. You know, I've been to space, and actually, you know, picking if I get lost.
Hey,
but sorry, I'm getting an echo. I apologize. So my instructor has this piece of pottery that's left over from Guatemala that his uncle, his great uncle, actually brought home with him from Guatemala. And so he wanted to see if I could hold it and feel the energy from it and see possibly what where it came from, what the significance of it was. And then he was going to be taking it to an architectural consultant, not architect. That's what I do. Archaeology.
Archaeological, yeah.
Consultant, yes. And
Hey, did you lick it?
I did not lick it. That's gross.
You're supposed to, old pottery tastes salty, whereas new shit just tastes like bleh.
I'm going to take
it. It's been in the ground and dogs have peed all over it?
Well, probably more like in Guatemala, you're probably talking more like jaguars and howler monkeys, but something like that, yeah.
It's all piss.
The drunken bum who lives on the corner.
I go pee in my pot.
I don't think I would taste it either.
Yeah, so the answer is no, I did not lick it. But I did give him my impressions on it, and I can't wait to hear back to find out how good I did.
When will you hear?
He said that the guy that he took it to wasn't familiar with that particular type of art or pottery, and so has taken some detailed pictures and has sent to some other experts. So it could take a week or two, I would say, before they get something back.
Now, I'm not going to say I'm more talented than somebody who went to university for this kind of thing, but did you happen to take any photos of it while you were in its presence?
I did not, no.
Because, I mean, going down to Belize in a month, I'm thinking lucky. That's like literally snuggled up to Guatemala. And Guatemala Paulo where they found the Mayan calendar, right? That they're anticipating December 20th for the end of the world.
Correct.
That whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, everything's going to happen.
And it was it's right. Years, you know? I said, husband. I'm sorry, Callie, what was that?
If you can hear me, you are really, really, really breaking up.
So are you. I think it's like an on and off thing. I think we heard something. And if it sounds good, then we'll just kill this whole episode. And anybody of your life,
should we play some music behind it?
Well, it's like music in unto itself, is it not?
Oh, my God.
Like, I've heard it referred to as Transformers having sex. I've yet to actually hear dubstep myself, but...
Yeah, I'd go with the whole dubstep sound. So we are definitely cutting edge on the show tonight, for sure.
That'll be our next sound clip, is a little tonight's episode, you know? Holy fuck.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, please don't let him even call now. Sorry to our listeners, but...
We're just going to hide. Turn off the lights.
If anybody wants to call in and talk and shoot the poop for a few minutes, feel free. Our call-in number is 661-244-9818. And that's if you could hear it in between the cool tune.
And since we're not doing anything specific, can we discuss The Walking Dead? Has everybody seen it?
I don't want to spoil it for any, but did you see what I posted on your thread on your Facebook last night?
I didn't.
My parrot is psychotic.
I did see that part. I'm sorry, I did. You're right. I did see that one.
I own a fucking zoo, people, and my parrot is psychotic. It Queequeg, named after the cannibal and Moby Dick and the little fluffy dog in X-Files. qualification required, right? He laughs at the most fucked up times. Like, it could be like... You know, you just find out that your best friend dies or your mother dies or something like devastating or guaranteed if it's on TV and people are bawling their eyes out, he starts busting a gut laugh. That bird laughed for half of the fucking TV show last night.
Nice.
I have to say I was totally grossed out when Maggie had to reach into all her intestines and guts and try and find that baby.
Really?
I thought that was kind of gross.
Out of everything in The Walking Dead, you find that gross.
The thought of, I mean, can you actually imagine having to go into somebody's body while they're still alive and search around their organs to try and find a baby?
Oh.
I mean, that's ghastly.
Guess what, everyone? We have a caller. Let's go and see what area code 707 holds for us. Caller
Hello.
From 707, you're on the air. Hi. Welcome
Hi,
to Cougar Chat.
Thank you. This is Michael Berryman.
Hi.
Had a bad connection. I finally got a hold of you.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome.
So the question I was trying to ask you so desperately when we had that horrible connection was everything you went through as you were growing up, how has that inspired your great anti-abuse, anti-bullying stance that you have now?
Well, firsthand, it was lessons hard learned. You know, you come into the world and you go, wow, you know, it should be a perfect place, nurturing, all that kind of stuff. And then you find out that it's not always the case. It put me on the defense, I would say, right away. didn't appreciate a certain behavior. A lot of it came from parents, more so than kids. And I mean that in the sense that I don't think they condition their children to respond or even teach them how to react to someone with a difference. So I would say it started out with shock, resentment, and drawing, you know, you become a little bit introvert after that experience, starting out.
Right. Yeah, that must have been really difficult as a child having, so you were bullied a lot personally?
I was what?
You were bullied a lot personally?
Oh, yeah, right. It was more verbiage than physical because I would get in people's face. I wouldn't put up with it. But those are pretty limited skills that children have, you know, especially if they're dealing with a difference. I would say self-reevaluation happens on an hourly basis, so to speak, you know, until you hopefully find a point in your life where you can go, wow, I have worth. I know what my strengths are. And also, when you can assess what your goals could be that are reasonable goals. As a child, being overstimulated with, you know, we're talking about bullying, helped me gravitate toward not hero worship, but, say comic books. Yeah, you want to be a superhero so you can, you know, right wrongs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's how it affects you as a child. It's pretty normal.
And then
I
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to ask a question. Like, Michael, how do you feel about, like, because I noticed the attention is so much on bullying right now, which I'm so glad to see because it's just, it's ridiculous that any child would have to put up to some of the stories that I hear. But I worry that we're bending over so far the other way. Like, I'm seeing like it's a, be nice to everybody. Everybody should be nice all the time. Include everybody who's standing around. One of the things about growing up, I think, was learning how to deal with not always being included. Not always, you know, sometimes being the awkward one who isn't, you know, as pretty. And I think that develops a lot of character for people. How do you feel about that? Like, where do you think the line is?
Well, the,
between bullying and normal.
Well, okay, if bullying is the normal, let's just say by people reacting because they don't see the value in the person they're bullying, they're not generally assessing as to why they bully. They're just reacting according to where they are. Now, for me, my father being a brain surgeon, you know, he took me to hospitals where I saw kids in situations that were a lot worse off. From my perspective, because it was shown to me, hey, look, this kid's legs, you know, they flop around. They don't work real good. This person has a palsy situation where they can't even stand up straight. So I was gifted to have parents that were in the medical field. Now, I understand, you know, society, it's kind of, you know, how can I put it? There's a Pollyanna approach that is kind of weak, and by that I mean, on the extent of, let's say, beyond yuppies, like we live in the west side of Los Angeles in the valley right now. We moved down from up north. So there is a tendency for people who are doing fairly well to chase, you know, the dream. You have a nice car, a nice home, you know, kids that, you know, quote, have no visual, physical differences, because a parent wants that for all their children, healthy. And then there is the, amongst that element, there is the, I would say, the veneer of acceptance. Well, I think what you're trying to say and ask is, are there certain groups that you will not just be a part of? And that is true whether you have a difference or not. So I think what I'm trying to circle is the concept of knowing who you really are, you know, who your gifts and what your gifts are, what you can accomplish in life. And a lot of that I found over time comes about from your hobbies, the people you associate with within your family group, trying to, for instance, my mother would try to talk me into wearing a wig or getting a toupee or something like that. And to me, that was a Band-Aid, and I knew, well, gee, the first day somebody comes along and says, ha-ha, keep away, you know, the humiliation is a little more raw than the original observation. You know, hey, you ain't got no hair, fingernails, okay. Hey, look, he's hiding the fact he has no hair and can't put fake fingernails on because that would be even lamer. So I guess brutal honesty is important, but self-worth and evaluation of what your real gifts are, because you have to understand that over time, the people that are bullying you won't be in your life just for simple reasons of normal growth, maturity, and they won't be in your zip code.
Well, it sounds to me like you were mentioning about almost idolizing the whole superhero genre as a child, and look at you now playing such great roles in so many different TV shows and movies.
It's a little ironic.
It is. I think it's wonderful. And how did that come about? What was your first role? And, oh, my God, how nervous and crazy was it for you?
Well, it came about just from good fortune. I helped a friend rebuild a house that burned down. It took 7 weeks. I was in Washington State. And then when I moved back to L.A., it was just serendipity that I bumped into a movie producer that happened to walk into my store at a small gift shop. And an opportunity came along. Hey, would you like to be in one of my films? Well, I had no interest in being an actor. I want to attract more attention to myself? Not really. But some of the other aspects of dealing with a difference also are not just visual, societal. Sometimes they can be medical. And for me, the ends of my toes and fingers during the summer months especially, they would actually crack open and bleed, and you know, doctors really didn't have anything to fix it. I had to mature. My body had to adapt to the lack of skin on the end of my fingers and the type of skin that I inherited. That's a day-to-day challenge. It's not something you can get off the pharmacy shelf or get a prescription, and now this is better. So that starts another page, which on a daily basis is things you can't do, because if you do, your hands will bleed, or maybe you will lose your balance, you will become overheated, like I can't perspire, just big body heat. So maybe that job you want as a chef ain't going to happen because you can't stick your head in a hot kitchen for too long without being limited with how long you can work. So the reality of what you can do on a daily basis for real, and the dreams and aspirations of a child with an imagination and a desire to fix wrongs, they kind of bump into one another, and you have to do this dance of acceptance, and sometimes it's not fun.
The whole anti-perspiration thing kind of blows my mind, and you mentioned about not being able to work in a kitchen. So does that limit you in other ways? Like, you have to...
I had to make an adjustment. Like, I actually would take my shirt, dip it in water, put it in the freezer, and then wear it, and then put my apron or cook shirt over that, and go about my work in the kitchen until I got too hot, and then I had to repeat the process, or just walk into the walk-in and hyperventilate. You know, very stressful to the cardiovascular system. And then, you know, the average person, you know, they go, well, I don't really want to have to, keep someone in this position with this potential risk, so to speak. So there's that. There's an employer's consideration of, you know, what will actually transpire. But I'd say that not the dreamer, but the altruist in me always realized certain things are just wrong. You know, people, society, they don't understand. If they understood your situation, there'd be no bullying. Well, that ain't really true. You know, there are people who are just mean, period. So that's another page where you have to make a list of things you have to accept as truth, and you have no power to alter them. You can be your own person and set an example. Sometimes you might get an appreciation from this person. They might not ever let you know this, you know. I had one particular person on the football team in high school that would, you know, try to knock your books down, mostly intimidation. But they learned one time they laid a hand on me, I just went right for the jugular. You know, my dad's a doctor, I learned some things. So as a kid, it was like, it was good that I didn't get a lot of fights because I just, you know, I'd hurt him, you know. So there's also what others, it begs the question, as a parent, as society, as a teacher, what do you teach the potential bully? What do you teach the potential victim?
Right.
You know, you
and tell we
them,
had
you tell
a
them the
bully.
Truth or what?
Yeah, we had a bullying expert on previously named Gabriella Van Raj, and she had suggested that showing sympathy and agreement towards the person who's actually doing the bullying would help alleviate many bullying situations. And it sounds to me like in your particular situation when you were bullied, you would not just take it and curl up in a ball, but you stood up for yourself.
Yes, I. That's because I. My first emotion was, "This is unjust. I don't like it," and after a while, you get fed up with it. So it was like, "I'm not going to take this." Now, as far as somebody saying, "You know, turn the other cheek, understand why they're doing what they're doing," well, sometimes I would look at them and just come up with an idea. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But you, like, I would say something sarcastic. What's the matter? Your daddy doesn't love you? Why do you say you're so mean? Your mom did this or that. You know, it wasn't helpful, but still, it was limited resources because you don't learn much in school, especially in the 50s and early 60s. You know, we would watch the Donna Reed show, you know, Lassie, you know, everything was pretty Pollyanna. Now, these days on television and in general, you can get a little more straightforward. Something that's out of the norm can be a little bit more accepted. Then you can move to other parts of the country or other countries. It might not be so easy to engage in meaningful conversation about these subject matters. I've done a lot of, I'll be speaking to groups and whatnot about bullying, and I'm very straight up. I said, well, here's how this really affects the child. Now, understanding, somebody else is looking at you and saying something weird, you know, yes, there is the approach. So what? So what does that mean to you? What's so weird? What's really freaking you out? You know, and if you can try that approach. It's not always successful. Sometimes they'll engage and go, oh, wow, well, I guess you're not the retard I thought you were, or you're articulate, or, oh, wow, you like the L.A. Dodgers, too. I mean, trying to find common ground is a good tool. But I would say, you know, about one in three times, you're going to have the complete failure, and there'll be no engagement. Maybe a third of the time you'll have someone go, oh, wow, you're not so scary after all, and by the way, you scared me, now I realize that you're not frightening. So, hey, you want to share a cookie, you know, at the schoolyard or something. So, yeah, attempts can come along where you can have a shot at having social skills, but it really varies.
Definitely. Nan, have you had any experiences with your kids being bullied at school, something that you might want to ask Michael?
I guess I've been really lucky. The bullying that my kids have had to deal with has never been the kind that hurt their self-esteem. Do they not get along with everybody? Have they gotten into fights with people? Have people called them names? Yeah, but not... I think that I've made them kind of strong-willed. That they'd really... You'd have to say something really hideous for them to actually think that they weren't awesome. That makes sense.
That makes total sense. It's I've known parents that basically almost in any situation always let their kids know that they could rise to the occasion and that they were better than that which is the aggressor, either in a bullying situation, verbally, physical, or otherwise. And that's a really good, that's a very good skill. Compassion is also a good, it's a good trait to temper that particular self-awareness.
I find, and like I said, mine's never been that bad, but I find like my daughter will come home and say, well, this person was being mean or this person said something that hurt me. And we talk about it. And we talk about things that she could have said or done or handled it. But for the most part, I just kind of hug her and say, well, you know, it happened.
Well, that's true. That's true. And if I may ask, what particular types of negativity was she given as a negative gift, so to speak? Because, like, for instance, if I had a foot growing out of my forehead, someone says, hey, you have a foot growing out of your forehead, you know, I can't go, no, I don't. It's a fedora, you know. Well, so seeing it from the other person's perspective is helpful because, look, every kid, well, we all look in the mirror. And, you know, there's times you go, man, I don't like this, I don't like that, or I wish this was different. We all have that going on. And then, but I think what really matters is some of the real basics. For instance, if you can turn your hobbies into strengths and turn those strengths into a career, you're really ahead of many, many games. Because like I've told other people and kids, I say, hey, look, okay, here's a picture. This person's very beautiful or very handsome. All right, I'm never going to be that. Okay, but here's a picture of me tired, sad. Here's a picture of me all of a sudden spontaneous laughter. Well, you know, that looks pretty handsome. That's a good thing. You know, you don't want to walk around being a blithering fool, but my point is we all have our moments where we are very self-satisfied with our own inner experience, you know. So if people are being lame, I just have to go, you know what, I tried, for whatever reason, they're continuing to be a jerk, and, you know, gee, too bad. Maybe their parents were even worse jerks, and I hope they grow out of it. Why? Because eventually, you know, their life might not be that great, but what I focus on the most is, is there any way to limit the amount of harm that they will do before they have an epiphany and live a life with grace as opposed to being negative and causing pain and suffering? Because sometimes, you know, people are on the edge, and one more kick in the face just might not going to make them into a serial killer. It's going to make them go, you know what, society really sucks. And so you're removing the potential for more joy and a better life for everybody. Some people really don't care about that, you know, for whatever small reasons they might have. So as a kid, to answer your question, I go, yeah, they're being stupid, they're being lame, you can fight them, you can go to the principal's office, the parents may agree or disagree. Bottom line, know, well, like Shakespeare, today on self be true, know who you really are and know what your strengths are really. And like when, you know, kids are talking about, well, my parents suck, this or that, I go, well, you know what, they're the only parents you got, you know, and let's hope whatever differences you might have you can work out for something positive. Because they're not going to be around forever. And, you know, those kinds of concepts are very helpful, I feel, to pull you out of the funk. It can be very cyclical to be, oh, I got to go outside and face, you know, ride the bus, be teacher, go to school. Or it could be later on in life. You could be handsome one day or beautiful in your 20s and 30s and get hit by a drunk driver, and now you're hopping around on, you know, one and a half legs or whatever the thing is, and now I'm working in the office, you know, and everybody's, you know, looks like, you know, everybody's got it together, and now I'm different. Gee, you know, it's like, hey, will you still love me if I get smacked by a tree, you know, Those are almost more relevant. Those are almost more relevant concepts.
Well, Michael, we're down to, unfortunately, with those technical issues we had, we're down to about 5 minutes here. I really want to hear what you've got coming up.
Well, coming up, I have a really excellent movie, a thriller called Below Zero, starring me and Eddie Furlong. We did 2 years ago in Canada. It's out on Netflix and Amazon. Very excellent. Supposed to be in Rob Zombie's, excuse me, The Lords of Salem. He's pretty secretive about the final cut. That should be coming out very soon. I've got about 3 or 4 other film projects that are gearing up for this fall and early spring. My main thrust is to write. I have working on a concept toward a biography and also some of my recipes. So I'm not quite sure yet, but I am writing this winter so people can learn a little bit more about my life, what I think life should be, and where we could take it.
Did you say recipes? You're coming out with a cookbook?
Right, but it won't be a complete cookbook. It'll just be some of my favorite recipes along with other anecdotes of growing up being me.
Oh, that sounds...
Will you come back and tell us about that? I would love to hear about that.
Well, I'll drop by the station and maybe bring a recipe or something. Where are you guys?
Ooh,
working,
that sounds
anyway?
Good. We do it on Skype, but if you're going to cook, you can come to my house.
Okay. All right, well, send me an email with the address. I'm working something out.
Oh, I love it. The guy from The Hills Have Eyes coming to Nan's house to have supper.
I love it.
Weird Science is my favorite.
Weird Science. When you're backing the bike up and you say, I'm really just a substitute teacher, that line kills me to this day.
Well, I've had some wonderful teachers in school that were totally one of a kind, and I learned more from them than anyone else. But I did meet, I ran into Michael Anthony Hall at a convention a couple weeks ago, dressed up really nice in a lovely suit at Rock and Shock, and he looked very dapper, but when I got to his table, he still had a stack of bras that he signed. He didn't wear it on his head, but I heard he has done so on many occasions. But I'll leave it, John Hughes was a wonderful, wonderful director and writer. He had a certain sensitivity, even for this topic that we're discussing. It would have been interesting to have brought him in this conversation, see how what type of approach he would have on it, because he's very gifted, and we need more people. The more gifted, the better. Long story short, let's hope tomorrow's a great day for our nation, and let's hope that a wonderful education is available to all the kids in the United States, period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on.
It
was a pleasure. Sorry about the glitches, and all you parents and out there, one of the great things you can do to your kids or with your kids is to get a great book and read with them as often as possible and as young as possible. It's a wonderful gift, and God bless you all, and I hope you have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Keep
have
in touch.
A good night, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yes, bye. So that was Michael Berryman, the fabulous actor.
I wish we could have had him more.
I know. The fact that we were cut down to half an hour really, wasn't ideal.
I know, and then you have to sit and listen to us blabber on about nothing.
I know. I know.
We'll have to do it again.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining Cougar Chat tonight. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.